Today's episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast is brought to you by FreshBooks. To see how FreshBooks can save you time and boost your creativity, go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter Accidental Creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. Atlanta, I am coming your way for a Herding Tigers workshop November 8th. It's going to be at Matchstick right there in Atlanta. So if you're interested in spending a day together talking about how to unleash the best work of your team, just visit accidentalcreative.com/Atlanta to learn more or to register now. Registration is limited, so you probably want to sign up quickly. So operating your own business, being a solopreneur, or working on your own, which a lot of us do, even if we work inside of an organization, many of us are kind of entrepreneurs, right? Some of us have to work on our own, do our work on our own. And yes, we interact with a team, we collaborate, but we also spend a lot of time doing work on our own. And we need to develop a mindset that is resilient, one that helps us stay focused, and one that helps us walk into the uncertainty of doing creative work every day with clarity and with focus. John Jantz has been working with entrepreneurs for decades, and he's just released a new book. It's called The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur. It's a collection of 366 daily meditations for people who are basically making it up as they go to help them develop a resilient mindset. And so on today's show, he's going to be talking with us about, you know, why he wrote the book and some of the core elements, core factors of developing a mindset that enables us to be self-reliant and to push forward in the face of uncertainty every day as entrepreneurs. Before we jump in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by FreshBooks. As creative pros, we are in the business of turning clever ideas into customer value. That's what we do. But the thing is, great creative work takes time to cultivate. And running a business, for those of us who do that, it doesn't always provide the kind of time you need to produce great creative work. And that's where our sponsor, FreshBooks, can help. So FreshBooks is accounting software designed for creative pros like you and like me. It's so easy to use that you're going to save up to 16 hours a month on time-consuming admin and paperwork, which means more time to let your creativity flourish. Spend your time, your mental cycles, those precious, valuable moments doing the work that actually moves the needle for your clients, not doing the administrative work, the back-end stuff that just robs you of your energy and your focus. FreshBooks is packed with time-saving features. You can create and send branded invoices in about 30 seconds. You can set up ACH and credit card payments right there on your invoices, so you can get paid up to 2 times faster. You can snap photos of receipts, and you can do this from your phone, which is great because it makes managing your expenses a million times faster. So when tax time rolls around, you can export tidy reports for expenses, invoice details, and sales tax to make working with your accountant a breeze. So allocate more time to creating, friends. That's what you're trying to do with your business, right? Let FreshBooks take care of the boring accounting and bookkeeping work. Right now, FreshBooks is offering listeners a free 30-day trial of FreshBooks. No credit card required. All you have to do is go to freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We love FreshBooks, and we know that you're going to love FreshBooks too. Try them out. freshbooks.com/accidental and enter accidental creative in the How Did You Hear About Us section. We thank FreshBooks for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it's so great to have on the show today, John Jantz. John is the author of a bunch of books. He's a founder of Duct Tape Marketing. He's also the author of the new book, The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul and Grow Your Business. John Jantz, I can't believe this is the first time we've had you on the show. Welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'm so thrilled to be here, and I think I did have you on my podcast earlier, so I think maybe a year ago.
You did, and I did offer to reciprocate, but you knew you had this book coming out, so it took us a while to get you here, but I'm really excited. I had the chance to spend time with you and some folks from your community at an event in Louisville that you were doing. And I was so impressed with the conversation, with the caliber of people I met at that event, and just the way that you are helping people who are in the trenches every day, entrepreneurs, business owners, people who are trying to make it work every day. You're helping them gain some clarity and figure out how to navigate this world of entrepreneurship. How did you get into doing the work that you're doing right now?
Yeah, and I'll just tag on to that. I mean, my audience that you spoke before, you know, is still talking about it. I mean, they were really, really blown away. And I know you know that.
Oh, that's really cool. Well, thank you. Well, you also, by the way, you sent me the coolest speaker gift I've ever received, which for those of you who've heard me speak, I tell this story about Jimi Hendrix opening for the Monkees. And about, I don't know, like 2 weeks later, I get in the mail this package. I'm like, what is this? It says it's from John Jantz. What is this? I open it up and it's a framed poster of the promotional poster for that opening concert, which is like the coolest thing. It's now hanging on my office wall. I'm looking at it right now, even as we're talking. So thank you for that. That was really cool.
Well, I love trying to personalize gifts like that. And obviously that was a minor token of the gift you gave us, but that one just dropped in my lap. I couldn't believe nobody else had actually done that.
That's awesome. Well, so tell me, how did you get into the work that you're doing right now?
Well, so I've owned my own marketing consulting firm for 30 years now, and you talked about my other books. This is my sixth book, and my previous five were squarely about some aspect of marketing. And I don't know, I wanted to write a different book. I hate to tell people I was burned out, but you know, maybe there's a little bit of that. You know, I didn't really want to write another marketing book. I'm not sure the world wanted me to write another marketing book. And so I really wanted to do something different. And this idea for this book and the whole kind of way it would come together, I'd been kicking around for 3 or 4 years. And it just felt like the right time. I mean, there's no question there is a, so the book is not about marketing. The book is really about kind of why to be an entrepreneur, I guess, or how to go about being an entrepreneur. And it's, you know, it doesn't teach you how to do anything necessarily. It's meant to just kind of be some inspiration and acknowledgement of the fact that this is an awesome thing we get to do. It's also maybe one of the harder things that people can do. And day to day, you get kind of kicked in the face. This is meant to be sort of the daily dose of, hey, you got this. And you know, here's how to think about this, and structured obviously in a way that probably does mirror a little bit of my experience over 30 years of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And what's great about it is it is broken up into 366 daily meditations, right? And they're short, they're easy to process, but they're also really challenging. And they all focus on this idea of self-reliance. What is a self-reliant entrepreneur?
I guess there are a lot of ways to answer that question, but I think at the heart is somebody that trusts that they're enough right now, that what they're doing is something that, you know, as long as it's in their heart, it's something that they should be true to. They need to, you know, that's somebody that stops listening to what other people say. That doesn't mean they don't take advice. They just aren't impacted by the fact that somebody says you're not good enough or that you can't do this. But it's also the flip side of that self-trust is you also have enough trust to understand that you can't and shouldn't try to control everything, that you can have a goal in your business, but let go of the outcome, or I'm sorry, let go of how the outcome occurs. Because I think probably the greatest amount of stress for most business owners is that, you know, they go into every meeting or every presentation or every sales call really with a kind of a set idea of here's what I want to get done. And like a self-reliant entrepreneur, you know, kind of is more about, you know, let's experience this and see what's the right outcome.
Yeah, I love that idea, that notion that you are, on one hand, not dependent on the feedback and the ideas of other people, right? That you're, yeah, that you're, yeah. But sounds like kind of what you're describing is a kind of interdependence, right? Where it's, I'm perfectly capable of sustaining and operating on my own, but I lean into other people for wisdom, but I also have filters. I'm able to discern which of that feedback is actually useful. And even if it isn't what I want to hear, it's useful to me. And which of it I can kind of discard and say, okay, that's not really relevant. I appreciate the effort to help me, but that's not necessarily relevant.
Yeah, and I think the great news about that is, first off, it suggests a large dose of empathy for, you know, other people's points of view, rather than just, no, that's not my opinion, so I'm going to dismiss right. your opinion. But the other thing that I think it does is it actually invites you or gives you permission to frickin' change your mind, you know, anytime you want. I mean, that that if something's not right for you, if it's not the right direction, that, you know, you're constantly, and I'm not in some ways trying to prove yourself wrong instead of prove yourself right, with the idea that you're going to, you know, take that experience and take the right course. And I do think a lot of people get really stuck in what they're doing because they were told that's what they were supposed to do. And that's, you know, how the world views them, and they don't want to, they certainly don't want to prove the world wrong. Right. You know, it's a funny example I use all the time is, you know, how many really accomplished, just successful, happy, you know, joyful, accomplished, you know, people out there running their businesses will go back to a family reunion, and then they're like their little 12-year-old self who, you know, can't do anything because that's kind of, you know, that's maybe how some people, you know, in their past have viewed them. And like I said, we sure don't want to prove those people wrong. Yeah. And, you know, it's amazing. I mean, I think probably everybody's had a little bit of that experience.
Agree completely. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about the book, about the self-reliant entrepreneur. It's interesting that you, well, you are a collector of quotes and you're an admirer of mid-19th century literature. And so much of this book really draws from the vein of mid-19th century literature and applies it to the mindset of the contemporary entrepreneur. So what is it about mid-19th century literature that you thought was relevant to what people are experiencing today as entrepreneurs?
Well, if you think about what was going on in America, at least at that time, so we're talking about the 1850s to 1870s or so, we were on the cusp of the Civil War. I mean, we were certainly culturally, politically very divided. There was, you know, the women's movement and the right to vote for women was just starting in earnest. We were trying to abolish slavery. I mean, so it was a time when some of the literature that was being produced was, I think, some of the best entrepreneurial writing of the time, because what it was essentially saying is, you don't have to listen to your preacher or to the politician or to, you know, somebody else who says this is how you need to make your way. It was really kind of the first counterculture movement in America. And a lot of it started with some religious and social reform. And it just grew to this idea of self-trust and, you know, finding your purpose. I mean, it was really some of the first writing that covered some of those areas, and some of it was overt. I mean, there were essayists like Ralph Waldo Emerson and you know, Thoreau and Walden, but then there were also kind of protagonists in a lot of the literature, like The Scarlet Letter and Little Women and Moby Dick. I mean, books we were all asked to read in high school and college. If you analyze the protagonists in a lot of those books, they were very self-reliant, very self-dependent. You know, in some cases, they were hard on themselves, like entrepreneurs, and so. I still today think that that's the best literature that's been written for entrepreneurs. So I did. I mined and curated hundreds and hundreds of sources, not only these novels that we're familiar with, but their letters and journals and things as well, because I think they gave just great insight and hints about, you know, they weren't necessarily talking about how to run a business, but I think, you know, the idea behind this is, in my opinion, is build a better you and you'll build a better business. And so what I did is I structured a book that I take a quote from one of those. And it's not just a quote. In some cases, they're pretty deep readings. They're not necessarily the stuff you're finding on Pinterest today. I mean, it's some of the most, you know, known quotes, there's probably, you know, maybe a couple dozen, but a lot of them will be new to a lot of people. A lot of the authors actually will be new to a lot of people. So every day starts with a quote or a reading, and then I riff on it for 100, 150 words, whatever it takes. And then I leave you every day with a challenge question. So I think to give somebody a, you know, real sense of it, if you would indulge me, I'll just read a page.
Because I've read it, and I'm sitting here, I'm sitting on my hands right now because I want to jump in and say, read it, John, just read it. So if you could just read us one of those entries, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. So we are, who knows when people will be listening to this, but we are recording this on September 26th of 2019. So I'm going to read today's entry. So every entry starts with a title, then the reading, then my words, and then the challenge question. So, September 26th, right to do. From a healthy union of affection and thought flows energy, When we do love to do that which we perceive it right to do, we cannot otherwise than embody it in earnest action. This is moral beauty. Lydia Marie Child, What is Beauty, 1843. When we do love to do that which we perceive it right to do, we cannot otherwise than embody it in earnest action. And if that wasn't enough, research conducted year after year demonstrates that corporations that do that which they perceive it right to do are also the most profitable. So there's that. And check out the rankings of America's most just companies from Just Capital. And of course, don't forget, you are in charge of deciding that which you perceive it right to do. What creates energy for you, what you define as moral beauty. So the challenge question for today, what's one area of your business or life that is out of sync with your beliefs? What's a small step you could take to realign it?
That's great. You know, the thing I love about this format, John, is that the reason people don't read, I think, is because they think, I want to sit down and read like 50 pages of a book today. Right? Like, I don't have time to do that.
Yeah, no, I got the stack on the end of my desk. Yeah.
Yeah. But the idea that I could sit down every day and just absorb a great thought from the past that's relevant today, somebody that I admire is going to contextualize it for me, then they're going to challenge me to act on that today, not tomorrow, not in 5 weeks. It's not some big, hey, completely revamp your business or develop a new framework for something. No, it's like, hey, today, I want you to think about, where is there a lack of synchronization between what you admire, what you believe to be true and beauty and your business, right? Yeah. Like, where is that today? Take a step in the direction of bringing coherence and confluence to those things. I mean, that's so useful, but I mean, and if it's every day, we can't help but make progress on the things that we care about, the things we're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't invent this format. There are, you know, other examples of this out there. In fact, one of the examples I read years ago and still read is the Daily Drucker, which is somebody has curated all of Peter Drucker's work and kind of into the same format. But I think you're right. I mean, not only is it not intimidating, I think it fits very much in the idea that working on yourself is a practice. You know, it's something you're never done doing, and so you don't read a book and go, oh, I got that nailed. I mean, it really is. In fact, what I love about this format too is my guess is because, you know, I wrote this stuff. You know how books are produced. I wrote some of this a long time ago, you know, a year ago, which is a long time for me.
Sure.
Some of it. And I'm going back and revisiting it. And in that year's time, I'm a different person. And it just hits me sometimes. I know that my own words, so it sounds a little silly, but it actually is hitting me in ways that it didn't necessarily when I wrote it or you know, I'm going deeper. And I think a lot of people can experience that in a book like this. You go back to January 1st and you're a different person than last year.
Right. Well, it's, you know, what is it? Was it Heraclitus that said you can't step in the same stream twice, right? Because it's always changing. Yeah. And I think that's really what a great book does for you. I mean, there are a handful of books in my life that I reread over and over and over again. And every time I learn something new or I am changed in a different way. And I could see where this book, if you just go through it over and over and over again, you know, 5 minutes a day or something to read, not even that. Yeah. I could see where that would really change you. What is something that you learned as you were writing? Because again, as somebody who's written 4 books, almost 5 books now, every time I write a book, you know, I write about the thing I want to learn about. And I always learn something that transforms my life in some way when I'm writing a book. And it's funny because each book, if you look at the string of my books, each book has the kernel of the next book in it, right? The little seed of curiosity. And that's true about the book I'm writing right now. So what did you learn in writing this book?
Well, this was such a bizarre, you know, experience in comparison to my other books. I felt sometimes like I was just saying, well, here's what I've done and it worked for me. You might try it too. And in this book, first off, I did 6 months of research. I mean, hardcore, like I'm writing a thesis, you know, research on a band of American literature. So that was a gift, quite frankly, to be able to have a reason to do that. I mean, because, you know, even if I want to do that, sometimes you have to have that excuse to do it. So it gave me an excuse to do that. But, you know, I spent writing it, you know, like we talked about somebody kind of having some self-reflection as they read each day. You know, this book was the hardest book for me to write because there was so much personal reflection that went into pretty much everything that I wrote. You know, I don't know about you, Todd, but I mean, in some of my other books, I mean, I could bang out 10,000 words over a weekend, you right. know, or something. And I mean, I wrote, I think my record was 9 pages in a day for this book because it was just so much introspection as well as kind of mental energy. So to finally get around to answering what you asked, the thing I think I learned really, I learned so much about myself because it, one of the things I think we stop doing in, as entrepreneurs quite often is it's so hard to stay present. And because there's so many things going, we're thinking about our meeting next week. We're thinking about the presentation we're doing for next month. and so, you know, you really get knocked out of the present. And I think that more than anything else, this book, forced me to kind of witness what I was thinking day to day. And boy, I tell you, I've given up worrying about a lot of stuff. And I don't even want to say that not caring. I care probably more deeply about my business, but I'm just not as attached to, you know, how things are going
to
happen.
It's funny you said that because that was the word that came to mind for me was detachment, right? Yeah. It's not that you don't care and it's not that you're not emotionally invested. It's that you have a healthy detachment from the, you know, you recognize that the gift is the work. Yeah. The work itself is the gift and not necessarily the results of your work. And you have to trust that if I work, if I engage in the work, if I do what's right, if I take right action on the other side of that, there's going to be fruit because that's just yep. sort of a law of nature, right? Or a law of the universe. And at the same time, I can't become attached to that fruit. I have to recognize that it's not my... Like that's not for me, you know, yeah, that's something yeah. that maybe I get to experience as a gift, but all I really have in front of me is the work. And I really felt that theme coming through so often in what you wrote in this book.
Yeah. And I would say the other one, I mean, obviously I'm 59, I've been doing this for a long time. I'll tell you another thing is this book kind of forced me and I'm actually recommending people do this way before I did. But this book in a lot of ways forced me to really come to terms with the impact that my body of work has had, or that I want it, to continue to have. And I think that, I think a lot of entrepreneurs miss that, part. I mean, we're so busy kind of making it, fixing it, shipping it, that we don't take stock of the fact that, you know, one or two or 10 or a million lives are better because of this thing we did. And you know, that to me brings me so much joy and happiness that, you know, it kind of takes the bank account out of the equation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's not to say that the bank account isn't important, right? you know, if there's no money, there's no mission is sort of the thing I always, you know, it's sort of been on my whiteboard at various times, right? Yep. Because I'm one of those who can get guilty. I can be guilty of like, hey, well, you know, as long as I've got a couple pieces of bread and some peanut butter, like I can just keep cranking out books and whatever, you know? And, you know, fortunately, I've never been to that place, but like that's sure. kind of my mindset is like, you know, hey, I just love doing the work I do. And at the same time, you have to recognize without money as the fuel, there is no mission. You yeah. don't get to keep doing what you do, right? And yeah. that's a challenge, I think, for a lot of entrepreneurs who really love what they do, or those who maybe are just chasing the dollar, but they're not really thinking about the mission and the incongruence between the mission and the money part of it.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing that became clear to me as I worked on this too is, you know, there's so much writing about find your why and your purpose and, you know, love what you do. And I think that that's a real struggle for a lot of people. In fact, most people, you know, it causes them a lot of stress because they're not sure they found it, you know. Right. And I think the biggest challenge is that until you come to the point where you fully trust that you are enough and that you have a unique gift, I don't think you'll ever find your purpose because it sort of finds you when you have that level of trust. And what that level of trust tells you to do is go out and experience stuff.
Yeah.
You know, go out and live life and you know, you're going to figure out what you want to invest your energy in mastering. And I guarantee if you do that, you will love what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and to that, and that's so wise. And also I would tell people, I try to tell people, listen, maybe your job is never going to be the thing that you love to do all day, right? Maybe your thing is to go out. Maybe you're just really gifted at making money. So just go out and make as much money as you can and then use that money as capital to go do the other stuff that you love. Go invest in other people. Go build whatever you want to build. Go, you know, volunteer at a nonprofit. Go do whatever you want. But like, you know, the money piece of it that you're really gifted at making, just go make as much as you can. Like that's a gift you have. And then discover something else that you love to do outside of your work. And that's totally fine. I think there's this myth too, John, that we have to, if we don't love the tasks we do all day, that we're on the wrong course. And I think that's a lie that I think leads a lot of people off course in their life and their work.
Yep. There's no question that the vehicle that you create, the value that you bring to the world can, will, you know, allow you to then make choices. And I think that's, you know, if we're going to really come down to defining the definition of success, that to me is one that, you know, if you have the resilience to stick with it, you stay congruent, you know, with your beliefs, then what to me the level of success is going to allow you to do is just have infinite choices.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the thing that people, you know, are missing. And you know, I've worked with entrepreneurs for, you know, decades now, and I will tell you, as a group, not all of them are happy and joyful and in what they're doing, you know, because it's become, you know, such a drain and sucked the life out of them. And I think that's probably the biggest crime of all.
No, agree completely. Well, we've been talking with John Jantz. He is the author of The Self-Reliant Entrepreneur, 366 Daily excuse me, 366 Daily Meditations to Feed Your Soul and Grow Your Business. You can find out more at selfreliantentrepreneur.com. Books are available anywhere books are sold. John, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, before I go, Todd, and thank you, but I want to tell a story, a very short story.
Great.
So as I was writing this book, and you may not even remember this, but I, you know, there were a handful of people like yourself whose judgment on what I was going, you know, I was still early on. I was like, will people like this? Is this a good idea? You know how we are. And so I sent a few entries out to some folks and you were on that list and you were kind enough to write back. And you didn't say this, but here's what I heard. Lighten up. And I really do think that, you know, initially it was like, this kind of can be serious stuff. And it was never my goal to come off preachy. I certainly wanted people to say, yeah, you're just one of us talking to us. And that was great advice. And I hope that, and I'm not sure today's reading was the perfect one to demonstrate that, but I hope that came through and I thank you for that. And whether you know it or not, it's in the acknowledgements as well. So it's there forever for people to wonder who this guy Todd Henry is that told somebody to lighten up.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, just so you know, it definitely reflects in the later manuscript. And also, that's because I know your personality was not being fully represented in your writing. That was the thing for me. I was like, you know, this is, I know John like has a lot more, you know, levity. And like, I know that when you present, like you present with such, you know, levity and empathy and all of that. And that was kind of what I felt like was maybe not coming through. It was more, I mean, it was great writing. I just really wanted people to see you. So I'm glad that was helpful to you. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thanks so much. And thanks for taking the time to do this today.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you like this episode, make sure you subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com/subscribe. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.